Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be here today with not just a good friend of mine, but a great friend of mine, and I will openly say my personal financial advisor, Dan Madsen with Northwestern Mutual. Dan, welcome today.
Good morning, Gabe. Everybody, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So again, Dan, thanks for being here today. It's really an honor and a privilege to have you. We are going to be talking about long-term care insurance and what that is. But before we do, I'd love for you just to give a high-level introduction, overview of who you are, what you do. But I know you've been a financial advisor for literally 30 years, and I've known you for close to 20. So with that, give us, again, a quick introduction to yourself, Dan, if you don't mind.
Thanks, Gabe. Yes, I started doing this in 1993. I've had one job. I'm probably the most unemployable person in the world. I don't even know if I could put a resume together if I needed to. We do financial planning, which is helping people with their defense and their offense with respect to their goals. And as you mentioned, long-term care insurance is one of the products and one of the things our clients need to consider.
Awesome. I love that. Offense and defense, right? So, you know, as we jump into long-term care here in a minute, and as you and I talk a lot about clients' retirement strategies, financial planning strategies, we talk a lot about the accumulation and the wealth building stage, right? And then we talk about decumulation and how to spend that safely. But with that being said, insurance, as I know it, and I've learned a lot from you over the years, is a way to protect, right, what you have. Right? Or protect against something that maybe you don't even want to have happen in your life, right? So talk to me about long-term care insurance, right? What is long-term care? Let's just start a high level and we'll work our way down from there.
I think you said it quite well. Is insurance is about, you can't prevent things from, you can try, but typically you can't prevent things from happening. But you buy insurance to help with the financial impact of things we wish we didn't have to deal with. You have car insurance because if somebody runs into your car, you don't want to have to write the check to replace it yourself. So what is long-term care? There's two types of care that many of us will experience as we get older. There's acute care and there's chronic care. So acute care would be the short events. I break a leg, I go to the hospital, I have surgery, I go home. Chronic care is something that lingers on and can last for weeks, months, years, or a lifetime. If someone has a stroke and they need help bathing, showering, getting dressed, that can go on for months and months and months. That is chronic care. Acute care is something happens, it gets addressed, and it's dealt with, it's over with. The cast is put on your leg, and that's the end of that. So long-term care is the chronic care we're referring to, where someone needs assistance either in their home or in a facility, dealing with a chronic issue, something that could last for many, many days, many, many months, many, many years.
Gotcha. So with that being said, chronic care. Okay. So this is not just as people get older and get into retirement, right? Or is it specifically designed? Is it age-based, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Chronic care tends to be age-based because there are examples, of course, of people who have illnesses, have strokes in younger years, but the majority of that care is provided and is needed as we get older. In your 50s, still considered a little early, but 60s and 70s, that's when chronic care, that's when long-term care becomes an issue for most people. There is the one-off, of course, when somebody's younger, but big, big percentage of it is older people, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Got it. So, okay, we're talking about people now, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. What about Medicare, right? So people become eligible for Medicare at age 65, right? Medicare is a healthcare program, as I know it. Why should somebody consider long-term care insurance, that is, if they already have Medicare or know that they're going to be eligible for Medicare?
Sure. So most of us understand Medicare. That's our health insurance. When we retire, we're no longer employed. We pay a co-payment for Medicare, but the majority of it is funded by our tax money that's been taken out of our paycheck throughout our working years. We all get a line item on our pay stub that takes Medicare taxes out, and that goes into the Medicare bucket to provide acute care when you're at 65 and older. So Medicare addresses the acute care, just like our health insurance does when we're younger. I get sick, I go to the hospital. That's Medicare. Medicare does not pay for long-term care or chronic, as we can also call it, chronic care. Medicare does not pay for someone to come to your house and help you take a shower or help you get dressed every morning. Medicare does not pay for nursing facilities. Medicare does not pay for residential facilities for seniors that have medical staff on site. That's long-term care. And how you can pay for long-term care, maybe I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but there is government programs that address long-term care needs. Medicaid is the national version. Medi-Cal, as an example, is a California version. And those address long-term care needs. So I could be eligible for and receive payments from both Medicare and Medicaid, Medicare being for my acute illnesses, Medicaid being for my chronic illnesses. So the government does have programs to help fund chronic care. Unfortunately, those programs are not intended or not used by most people because they are asset-based, they are income-based. And give you an example, I believe a family of two, the Medicaid income limit is in the mid 20,000. So if you have an annual income from Social Security or a pension or a 401k or an IRA, you're very likely not to qualify for Medicaid or Medi-Cal in California. So there are programs that help, but they are not meant for people who've done a reasonable job of saving and growing a nest egg on their own. They're meant for people who are destitute and don't have anything else.
Got it. So to make sure I understand, right, we've got Medicare, which is, again, an insurance for acute care. And then you've got long-term care insurance, which covers more chronic illnesses. And if you don't have insurance, then what you started to talk about is how it can be paid for and government programs that cover those. But effectively, it's a means-based test to be eligible for those government programs, either asset-based and or income-based. And with all due respect, you really have to be at the poverty level to qualify for these government programs effectively, yeah, right? You've correct. Spent down all your assets or you don't earn enough income, and therefore you're eligible for these government-based programs like Medicaid. And everything I've been told about Medicaid and these government programs is the facilities and the care are not necessarily the greatest.
And right? Medicaid, as an example, does not pay for, even though it pays for chronic care, long-term care, it does not pay for in-home services. So if you can imagine, if someone gets ill, has a stroke, whatever, and they need care, they would prefer to stay in their home. We're all more comfortable in our home. We don't want to go live in a facility or go to a nursing home if we don't have to. And Medicaid does not pay for in-home services. So I guess the summary of the whole thing, there's a small scope of people that'll be eligible for and the types of services they want that will be provided by Medicaid.
Gotcha. So you just touched on the fact that if you do have long-term care insurance, this type of insurance could cover in-home care in addition to care outside the home, like a nursing home. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So we could talk about, it's exactly fair to say, we talk about what are the alternatives to pay for long-term care needs if you have them, and the government programs we just discussed. Some people will just pay for it out of assets. They have enough money that it's not going to be a financial detriment to their family. And some people prefer to insure that risk, just like some of us wouldn't buy auto insurance if the government didn't require it, and some of us would buy auto insurance. So some people prefer to self-insure. Some people actually buy long-term care insurance.
So, yeah, before we talk about how to cover it, right, and how to fund it, long-term care, that is, what would you say, statistically speaking, maybe Northwestern Mutual knows this information, but how often, what percentage maybe, would you say that people are going to need some sort of long-term care as we age?
Different studies have different numbers, but most of the studies, if not all of them, are between 50 and 70%. So you can say that you have split the difference and say you have 2/3 of us will need some form of long-term care. And if you extrapolate that to a husband and wife, obviously now the numbers get even greater. It's been mentioned on more than one occasion in studies that there's a 90% probability between two spouses that one of them needs some form of care during their life.
Got it. So married couple, one of you is likely to need it, 90% likely to need it. And with that being said, what are the estimated costs? Would you say ballpark figure? I know you're in California. Things might be skewed in California, but nonetheless, I think there's probably average costs, would you say, that vary?
The latest studies I've seen using a 75-year-old as an example, the national average can range between 140 and 100, or excuse me, 140 and $225,000 a year. So the lower end being, you know, I don't need full-time care. The higher end being, someone has Alzheimer's as an example, and they need somebody to watch over them 24 hours a day because they may very well step on an airplane to Guatemala and not know where they are. So it can be, you know, 140 to 200 and some thousand dollars a year, not inexpensive. Now, I will say that something about some statistics about long-term care events is many of them are partial to begin with. Most of them are degenerative, meaning that they start not so bad and they slowly get worse over time. And that's just a function of our aging and our health as we get older. So you may not find yourself at those numbers to begin with, but that's a national average for people needing care.
So what I think I heard you say, ballpark, is somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000 per month, depending on the level of care and how many hours you need care ultimately. But $10,000 to $20,000 a month, it's a lot of money. So
The frightening number, yes.
frightening number. And with that, you started to mention earlier different ways. So if you don't have long-term care insurance, right? There's other ways to fund it outside of government programs, but talk to me a little bit about that. You said you could use other assets if you have assets, right?
Sure. And for those of us, if some of us have done a good job of savings and we have enough money that the dollars needed for long-term care won't change our retirement or our spouse's retirement or what we hope to leave our children, then we can self-fund it. Many people will consider equity in their homes as an asset to provide the dollars needed for long-term care. Besides those two things, it's really down to if I don't want to, or I don't have the assets to pay for it on my own, I'm down to needing insurance or I'm down to the government assistance. So pay for it yourself, use home equity, use a reverse mortgage, buy insurance.
Got it. So self-pay, right?
Yep.
Government subsidy, which again, we talk about means-based, insurance of some sort, which we'll talk about next, kind of types of long-term care. Or you can use home equity, as you said, a reverse mortgage, a home equity conversion mortgage, age in place, allow your home equity to cover that cost, or go live in your kid's basement and have your kids take care of you. I guess that's
Yeah.
another option that you could consider if
Yeah.
that's something you want to really depend on and rely on, which most people I don't think want to, but it's out there.
There's actually some scary statistics too about the impact on family members who are required to be care providers. And that obviously has an emotional toll. It probably has a financial toll that maybe they don't have to, maybe they can't work as much as they'd like to. And it has a health toll. Like, I'm sure many of the people who listen to this will have some personal experience with relatives, family members who have needed care and assistance. But if you have to lift a 130-pound grandma out of her bed every morning to help her get dressed, that's not a minimal task. So it's bad. It causes problems for the care providers as well. It's all around. It's a tough situation all around. So that's why thinking of it. Buying fire insurance on your home before your home is actually caught fire is much easier to do than the other way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit about the types of long-term care insurance, right? So there's what I understand is just a traditional or straight long-term care insurance policy, and then there's hybrid policies, right? So talk to me a little bit about what that looks like, and then maybe we can dive into estimated costs.
The traditional long-term care product, which has been around for 30, 40, 50 years, it has morphed, it has changed over time. I believe initially it was really just nursing home care. And now the traditional long-term care product is a product which you can receive payment from the insurance company if you need care provided in your home, if you need care provided in a residential living facility that has medical staff and does things like make sure you take your medicine, et cetera. And if you need care in a full-blown nursing home, it'll also pay for that. So the traditional long-term care product is purely a defensive product. If you can make a silly analogy to auto insurance, if you buy an auto insurance policy and never crash your car, And when you're 82, you turn your keys in, your insurance company says, thanks a lot. We never had to pay you anything. You're happy you never crashed your car. That's traditional long-term care insurance. If you need care, you will get paid from the insurance policy. If you hopefully just live a long life and you go to sleep when you're 93 and that's it, then you never needed that care. And we're all happy we didn't need the care. Just because I buy auto insurance doesn't mean I want to crash my car. So
absolutely,
the traditional product is if you get sick, you need care in your home, in a residential facility, in a nursing home, you will receive benefits from that. The other option that's newer to the landscape over the last so many years is a hybrid product where it combines a life insurance policy and a long-term care insurance policy. And for those of you who may know about life insurance policies, a permanent life insurance policy is one that lasts forever. So if you live to be 120, it'll still be there. The long-term care hybrid product, you buy a life insurance policy, but if you need long-term care during your life, you can choose to receive payment for long-term care needs as opposed to having payment made upon your death. So it is going to protect family if you get sick and you need care. It's going to be there when you pass away for your heirs. And lastly, a lot of those products have a cash value to them, which means if you decide when you're 75, 85, 95, you don't need or want long-term care or life insurance coverage, then you cancel the policy and they write you a check that you can use for whatever you want to use for, supplement your retirement, buy a Porsche, whatever you want to do with it.
Awesome. So I imagine there's pros and cons, obviously, with each one, which we don't need to get into today. But what I understand is long-term care policy, like you described, auto insurance or home insurance, it's got a specific use case, right? And then the hybrid policy where it can be used for a number of different things, whether that's a death benefit or whether that's long-term care insurance or cash value if you want to cash it out. So that seems to me to be a pretty cool and unique option where it can be utilized for numerous things as opposed to just one thing ultimately. Can you speak to, I'm sure the costs for these products vary tremendously between age and health and other considerations, I'm guessing, but can you give us a range of maybe what those costs might be?
Sure. So the traditional long-term care product, you buy a daily or a monthly benefit. Let's say I buy a policy that would pay me $4,000 a month if I needed care in my home or in a nursing facility or residential facility. That $4,000 a month, if you're in your 50s or your 60s, is probably going to cost you $2,500 to $3,500 a year in costs, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Women tend to be more expensive than men because women use this stuff more often than men do, mostly because they have a longer lifespan. So they're more likely to need long-term care. So it gets obviously much more expensive as you get older. Many companies, I believe, maybe all of them at this point, but you can't buy traditional long-term care past age 75. And that's simply because it gets very difficult for an insurance company to calculate odds the further out you get. And it's probably just way too cost prohibitive for anybody at that point anyways, or for most people. So you're going to spend, if you're 60 years old, you're going to spend $3,000 to $4,000 a year in cost to buy a product that would pay you $4,000 a month for care. There's a little bit of variables. You can buy a policy that has a delayed trigger, meaning it doesn't start until I've needed care for 1 year or 12 months, or excuse me, or 3 months or 6 months. So the longer out you make that duration, kind of be like a high deductible auto insurance policy. You're going to have a lower premium payment for it, but you have to cover the first $1,000, let's say.
Got it.
The hybrid product, again, varies with age, health, gender. $250,000 hybrid product would probably run you $5,000 to $6,000 a year when you're in your 50s, maybe a little more than that. And that would provide you $250,000 life insurance. And then the example I'm giving this product here is 80% of that could be paid in long-term care if you wanted to do that instead, meaning if you needed long-term care and you took $100,000 out for long-term care and then you passed away, they would pay the $250 minus the $100 you already took out for long-term care. So that product in your mid-50s to 60s is $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year. The hybrid product is obviously way more expensive because there's 100% guarantee you're getting paid. If you can imagine an auto insurance policy where they said, if you never crash your car, we'll give you all your money back, they're going to charge you more than the person they wouldn't give any money back to if they didn't crash their car. So because that product is guaranteed to pay in one form or the other, it costs a lot more. With traditional long-term care insurance, there's always a chance someone won't use it. So it costs less because the insurance companies know there's a specific percentage of people that will die without needing long-term care. And there's also a specific percentage of people that will actually cancel the policy at some point. So they factor those into the pricing.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. I know it's probably a very, very hard question to answer as far as cost goes, right? Because there's so many variables, but this at least I think gives people a good understanding, right? Of what the options are, what it covers, and an estimated range of that cost. And what would you say, you know, maybe as we wrap up here, what would you say if someone has long-term care and as they are getting older and they are, whether they're struggling financially to continue to afford the premium or they just are thinking they may not need it or want to use it anymore, should they continue to pay that? Again, every situation might be different, but I would think that once you've already put all that money into it, that if you can afford to continue to pay it, you should. But I'd love to hear from you and kind of what your thought is there.
It's a very tough scenario because many people will not have the income, the assets to pay for long-term care insurance as they age. And we have clients all the time whose kids end up buying it for them, et cetera, because they know the risk. Yes, ideally you keep paying it forever. I would say that there's probably an argument that as you get older and older and older, the biggest concern from a financial perspective, health perspective, emotional perspective, is someone who has a care event when they're 58 and it lasts for 15 or 20 years. It's horrible to think of. It happens. You know, when you're 89, if you have a care event, it's just the fact that you're already that much older. It's probably not going to last that much longer. Your body is already more compromised, and an illness or an injury that requires care might very well be the beginning of the end, to be blunt about it. So interesting question. Ideally you keep paying for it. And we try to make it very clear to our clients that this is something you need before you do this. You need to assume this is going to be a bill you will have forever. And don't get into it today if tomorrow you're going to tell me that it doesn't fit the budget anymore. I just on a bigger scale, I think the way we try to think of it is if you take a small amount of your offense to play defense, and I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a portfolio that earns $100,000 a year of gains in your retirement years. If you take $5,000 or $6,000 of that to play a little bit of defense, the difference between the $94,000 and $95,000 of growth you get every year and the $100,000 of growth you could have gotten probably doesn't change your lifestyle much, if at all. But a long-term care event can definitely change your lifestyle and the lifestyle of your spouse. So playing a little bit of defense with offense, I think, is a very reasonable way to think of this.
It's a great, great analogy, great way to end for today. And I do have a question. Maybe we'll come back another day on this, but you touched on someone who's younger, who might have a life event that lasts them into their, elderly ages, but long-term disability compared to long-term insurance. Maybe we'll have another discussion another day on the differences of what long-term disability is and what that covers versus long-term care insurance. So not to get into today, but unless you want to, of course.
No, if you can stand to see my face another time, we certainly should do that.
Well, I look forward to it, and hopefully our listeners do as well. But as we wrap up today, if people have questions about this topic, if they want to reach out to you to learn more about this or any other type of insurance for that matter, or financial planning, retirement planning strategies, what's the best way to reach you and your team, Dan?
Call you, and then you tell me to call them. No, my email address is very boring. First initial D, then a period, MADSEN. At N as in Nancy, M as in Michael.com.
Awesome. Dan, thank you for your time. Great to see you.
It's cool. Fun.
Forward to doing this again. All right.
All right, Gabe. Thanks, bud.
Thanks. See you soon.